We live in a time of growing perversion. Listen, God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Do you understand? We don't hate the sinner. We were all sinners. Now we're saved by grace. Amen. Thank God for that.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study from the Epistle of Jude. Today, Pastor Bill completes the message, Two Examples to Remember. Now, Pastor Bill.
Before the resurrection occurred, 3 days happened. Now, during that time, where did Jesus go? Meaning, where did Jesus' eternal divine spirit, where did it go? His body in the tomb, but his spirit went someplace. How do I know that? Because what did Jesus tell the thief on the cross? He says, today you shall be with me in
paradise.
Oh, what paradise? Abraham's bosom. Amen? So we know that Jesus' eternal spirit went into the bosom of Abraham, what we call Hades, okay? Paradise, same thing. Now, with all of that being said, what in the world did Jesus do when he got there? Well, let me give it to you. 1 Peter 3:19 says this, whom, or by whom, meaning Jesus' eternal spirit, it says, by whom also Jesus went and he preached to the spirits. Now, that word preached is not, he didn't go down there and give people second chances. You follow me? He didn't preach. The word means he proclaimed. Why would Jesus go into Hades, Abraham's bosom, the place of the righteous dead, the other side, that great gulf that separated him, the place of the wicked dead? Why would he go in there and proclaim? And what did he proclaim? I'll tell you what he did. He went and proclaimed to the side across the great gulf, and someone else too, and I'll get to that in a moment, that he is victorious, that he defeated death, that he defeated sin, that he defeated hell, that he defeated the devil, amen? And remember what he did with Abraham's bosom, all the Old Testament saints? Did he lead captivity captive and take them to heaven when he rose from the dead? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and following, yes, he did. Now, let me set this up again to you. Okay, so there he is. He's proclaiming that what I just said to the spirits in prison. Now, what does that mean, spirits? Well, that word, according to every Greek scholar, especially Wiest, who that's who I really like, Wiest says, these spirits are the fallen angels. Are y'all with me? Okay, so they are the fallen angels. They're demons. They're not humans. So he proclaimed to the spirits in prison who formerly, here it comes, were disobedient, meaning these fallen angels, who were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So now we know who we're talking about. Now we know who the spirits are and what Jesus said unto them. So these fallen angels back in the days of Noah, they are God imprisoned them in everlasting chains under darkness. And what does that mean and where is that at? Let me give you the scripture. 2 Peter 2:4. The fallen angels who sinned in the days of Noah, listen carefully. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned. Isn't that amazing? The angels sinned. They'd been in heaven, but now they've sinned. The angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now listen, God locked them away until the day of judgment. Why? Because of their unnatural, horrifying union with humans. And God said, this will never, ever be repeated again. And he has locked them away, and they are locked away right now today. Do you know that? Right this minute. And they're not in judgment. They're awaiting judgment. Okay? Now, with all that being said, he said, cast them down to hell. That's an unfortunate translation because hell, no one is in hell or Gehenna. That's in Revelation 20, amen? That we're not there yet. So no one is in hell, they're in Hades. When a Christian dies, they go to heaven. When the wicked dead die, they go to Hades. Do you understand? They're there alive in spirit waiting for the judgment to come. Now, with all that being said, now that I've confused you completely, hell is a bad translation. The word there is not hell, it's Tartarus. Only found there in the Bible, Tartarus. Now, the word Tartarus is actually synonymous, or if that word is just like the abuso, the bottomless pit, okay? Now, with all that being said, remember Hades, okay? Here is the Hades. There's the Abraham's bosom, all the righteous saints, and between them and the wicked dead, was there a great gulf?
Yes.
But they couldn't cross it, could they?
No.
Okay, and so over here is the wicked dead. Here's Abraham's bosom. But underneath that, the abuso is Tartarus, the lowest hell, the place of incredible darkness, the place of incredible, horrible torment. And they are there right now. Did you know that Jesus told us in Matthew 25:41 that hell wasn't created for man? Hell was created for the devil and his angels, amen? Now, with all that being said, let's maneuver, segue now into the third example in Jude 7. And I want you to catch what's going to happen, because in this third example, we're also going to be going to Genesis 19, if you care to follow me. So it says in Jude 7, it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, now watch this, in a similar manner to these. Who are these? The angels. He's doing a comparison between the angels of verse 6 and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the ones that are surrounding Sodom. It says of verse 7. So the sin there in both cases was sexual sin. But catch this now. Both were a departure from their given nature. That's very important to see. So look at it again. In similar manner, these, meaning these angels, it says, just like Sodom, having given themselves over to sexual immorality. In other words, excessive wrong sin, if you will. It says, and look what they did, the angels and also Sodom, they gone after what kind of flesh? Strange flesh. That means they departed from their natural nature to something that was unnatural, if you will. You can say the word could be homosexuality, bestiality, whatever it is. And they say, are set forth as a what? An example. Oh, we don't want to forget this one. An example suffering the vengeance or the punishment of eternal fire. Now, question. Sodom and Gomorrah, we know they're going to be destroyed, or they were, right? They were destroyed with fire and brimstone. So now they got that, but now they're going to be destroyed with eternal fire forever and ever. How sad is that? So Jude says, let me remind you, God judged apostate Israel, God judged these apostate angels, and he's going to judge Sodom, or he did judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because Jude is telling his readers, these apostates that are trying to turn you away from the faith, God's going to judge them too. Why? Because these false teachers, as we will learn in a few Sundays, they are just like the people of Sodom, if you will. Now, in Genesis 19:1, let's look at the story. It says, now two angels came to Sodom. Now, remember, they came to save Lot, his family, and then destroy everything. It says, they came in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So here he is, you know, he departed from Abraham, remember, and he went into Sodom. Now he's sitting at the gate, meaning he is a judge. He's sitting as a judge in the most wicked nation on earth, okay? And then when Lot saw them, meaning these two angels, he rose to meet them, bowed himself with his face before the ground, and said, here now, my lords, please turn in your servant's house, spend the night with me, wash your feet, that you may rise early, go on your way. And they said, no, we will spend the night in the open square. Look what Lot did. But he insisted strongly. In other words, he was saying, you don't understand. No one spends the night in this square, okay? And so they turned into him, entered his house. He made them a feast, baked unleavened bread, barbecue, and all the rest. And they ate. Now, before they lay down, meaning the angels and Lot's family, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter, all the people. Now listen, they are all filled with unnatural lust, okay? It says, from every quarter, look what they did. They surrounded the house, and they called to Lot. And they said, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. The NIV says, have sex with them, these angels. And so Lot went out through the doorway. He shut the door behind him and said, please, my brethren. I can't believe he called them brothers, you know. Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. You know the story. He shut the door and he says, listen, take my two virgin daughters, do with them whatever you want, but do not touch these men. And what did the people outside do? The men, they started trying to break down that door to the house, and the angels reached out, they grabbed Lot, they pulled Lot back into the house, and they shut the door, left the door, and guess what they did? Look at the next verse, verse 11. And they, the angels, they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. I'm going to tell you something, like I told the early service. If all of a sudden an angel struck me blind instantly, I mean, I don't think I would be looking for anything but mercy. Amen? I say, what can I do to get my sight back? I mean, you know, but they didn't do that. It's amazing. You know what made the people outside grow weary or made them give up? It says because of their weariness. That's the only reason they gave up. You know the rest of the story. The angel, they were blind, and the angels, what did they do? They got a hold of Lot, and they said, who do you have in this city? And he ran to his in-laws because they'd married his daughters. They thought he was crazy. And then so the angels got him and his wife and his two daughters. And he said, I can't destroy this place until you're out of here. And they drug him all the way out of the city. And they told him, don't look back. Just get out of here. And then who looked back? The wife looked back. She turned to a pillar of what? Pillar of salt. Now, you know, I don't have time to tell you the finishing there, but listen, here's what I want you to see. In God's eyes, the sin of Sodom had absolutely no remedy, and God did something. God did not warn them. He didn't send a prophet there. He destroyed it completely. Man, listen, God judges those that he has blinded. Did you know that? And that's what he did here. Now, here's what I want to do. I just have a few minutes, and we're going to celebrate communion. I want you to keep your hearts open right now. No matter what I say, please don't close them, but just listen to me just for a few minutes. You know, when we look at these three examples that we need never, never forget, what I say to you now is I say in tremendous love, I love people. I love lost people. I want everybody saved. I always want this church and all of us to be, to earnestly contend for the faith that's been delivered to us. Amen? Now, and with all that said, I want you to listen. They were apostates, but we live right now in an apostate society, but we don't really recognize a lot of us. Loved one, listen, whenever you see a people, if you see a church, whenever you see a government, you know, and they exalt themselves above the very word of God, there's a problem. Whenever a government says, and I love America, don't think I'm not against this, I love America. But whenever you see a government say, in God we trust, you know, whoa, we trust in God, we're one nation under God. It's easy to say that, isn't it? But then they turn around and they exalt themselves above the very word of God by passing laws that legislate morality, that pass laws that make sin, horrible sins in the Bible, legal, loved one. Whenever you see certain men and women today, they enter into the pulpit, they've crept into the pulpit, but they do something. They don't like the Word of God, so they change the Word of God to suit anything they want it to say. In other words, they've crept in and they've turned the grace of God into lewdness. And you see them, and listen, I'm condemning their sin. I'm not condemning a person. I support what God says. And they perform same-sex marriages. And they say, that's perfectly okay. God understands that. We're under grace, but God loves everybody, you know? And they teach that being gay or homosexual or whatever it is, lesbian, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not even a sin. But God says otherwise. Do you understand? But God says lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Murder is a sin. I'm not picking out a particular sin. I'm studying the text that we are in context. God says in Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie or literally have sexual relations with a man as with a woman. God says it's an abomination. I don't have time to go into Romans chapter 1, 26, 27 and following. It says the same thing. Amen? Now listen, we live in a time that is so apostate that we're not trusting God's word, that we, some parents are, and God help them, they allow their children to change their identity. Listen, what does a seven-year-old know about identity? What does a seven-year-old know about life or wisdom? Amen? They don't know. In other words, I don't feel like I'm a boy. I feel like I should be a girl. It kills me to see that, but it's happening. Or a little girl to say, I think I'm a boy. And then we allow those things to happen, loved one. And listen, you know, they change their body. When God says, no, don't change your body. Give me your body. Give it to me. Present your bodies, offer them as a living sacrifice unto God. Amen? Give them to me. And God says, I'll change you. I'll change your heart. I've seen it. God can do anything. Amen? Whenever you see a people, but they call Jesus Lord, they call themselves Christian, they go to a church, but they've given themselves over, God help them, to an unnatural lust that they should have never got involved in, there is a problem. We live right now in the craziest times that I've ever seen in my entire life. We live in an apostate society. And here's what I want you to remember. That shows me, I don't know if it'll show you or not, but it shows me that we might be in the last stages of decay. You say, well, Bill, come on. No, you know what the Bible says in Romans about all those unnatural lusts and all those things like Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that are happening today? It says that God has given those who do such things over to a debased mind. Romans 1:28, a debased mind. You know what a debased mind is? It is a corrupt mind because they don't want God in their knowledge. They don't want the word of God in their hearts. It's a corrupt mind that can no longer make right moral judgments. See, their mind has been abandoned by God. Think about that. It's not there. And so what does God do? He says, I'm giving you up. I love you, but I'm giving you up. I'm giving you up over to the power of sin. I'm giving you up. Now, you want to be a slave of sin? I'm going to let you be a slave of sin. He says, but you know what? My grace is still available. You can still be saved. You can still come to me. But if that's what you want and you don't want me, you've gone so far, you're an apostate completely. There's no hope. Jude said that Sodom and Gomorrah, all the things we've learned, have been set forth as an example for us never to forget and to always be a warning to us, loved one. Jude said, let me remind you. And in these few verses, he gave us three examples of cultures who were in their last days of final decay, final death. Listen, again, one more time. Every one of these examples, did they all end in death? Yes. All of them. They all ended in death. Listen, Jesus told us something, loved one. He told us, he said, you can look in the past to understand what's going to happen in the future. Let me give you the scripture. It's Luke 17:26. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Did we just study that? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also, or so it is now, right now, loved one, today. So it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Listen, Jesus is coming to an unprepared and unexpecting world, isn't he? He could come any moment for us. It says, they ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came. And how many people were destroyed? Everyone on earth, the entire, it was destroyed. Even though Noah over and over and over, a preacher of righteousness, warned them for 120 years, but they did not value, they did not believe the truth of God. They did not believe it. Now listen to what Jesus says again. Likewise, as was also in the days of Lot. Did we just study out the days of Lot? Okay. He says, as it was in the days of Lot, so it shall be. He says, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed how many? All. It destroyed them all. Jesus said, if you want to understand what it's going to be like when I'm getting ready to go, it's going to be like those days. We are in those days right now. And the perversion that we live, we love people. We have to be contenders for the faith. Does that make sense? We've got to be on fire for the Lord. Loved one, listen, we are in those days right now, and they're mounting and mounting and mounting. Apostates, what did Jesus tell us? He told us, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And they will say unto me, oh, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? Jesus didn't condemn them for any of those things. He said, depart from me, you doers of lawlessness, for I never knew you. You were apostates. You were liars. You profess me, but you never belonged to me because you lived the way you wanted to live, a life of rebellion against me. And then Jesus went on and said, therefore, go back and, why is it therefore with what I just said? Therefore, if anyone hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. He said, these sayings of mine, oh, and the storms came and the floods came and the winds that blew, but that house didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock, on Christ. We heard the word of God. We do the word of God. He says, but he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house or his life on sand. And the same winds came, the same floods came, and great was the fall of that house. There is only one way to build our lives. There is not many ways. There is only one way, and it's on the rock, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a time of growing perversion. Listen, God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. Do you understand? We don't hate the sinner. We were all sinners. Now we're saved by grace, amen? Thank God for that. But loved one, we've got to do something. And not only that, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're listening on the radio, I don't even know, but listen to me. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you may be professing him. Oh, I love him, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, go to church. But you're not in the Bible, you're not doing anything, I'm not criticizing you, I love you. You're in trouble. And there's only one way to get right. His name is Jesus. You have to ask him into your heart. You have to believe in your heart. You have to confess with your mouth. And if you'll do that, he'll save you. You pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, in Jesus Christ, in his name, I come to you. For his name is above all names. And his name is the only name I can be saved by. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised that if I would confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that you would save me. I believe, Lord. I want Jesus to be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Study continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we hope to see you once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.